This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Final hour of overtime here on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 4 o'clock. Let's get back into some football talk. Wide receiver is going to be a big position of need and focus this offseason for Washington. Terry McLaurin, Luke McCaffrey, those are the only two dudes under contract going into this season. What do you want to see them do at wide receiver? There's a couple things that I want to see specifically. I know a lot of people are immediately going to go to the guys that we've talked about plenty here on the station. T. Higgins, Cooper Kupp, Debo. And when I was thinking about this the other day, I'm going to throw out some other names maybe I'd be interested in. But there's a couple things that I want at the wide receiver position. 800-636-1067, if you want to hop in as well on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So to me, the one thing that I want, maybe more than anything else at the wide receiver position, now this is difficult to come by, I want speed. I want a downfield threat. And what I'm interested in is Diami Brown was supposed to be that guy. I remember when he was drafted out of North Carolina, he was the downfield threat. He was someone that was going to get the ball deep down the field. And what's interesting about him is he's a downfield guy that isn't necessarily the fastest. Not to say he's slow. I think he still ran in the 4.4s. But usually you think deep threat, you're thinking 4.3s. Maybe, you know, Xavier Worthy 4.2. You're thinking someone that is blazing speed. Think of Jameson Williams when he gets going. He just runs by NFL DBs that are going full speed. He just runs right by them. Diami ain't doing that. But I want someone that's a little bit of a burner. I want someone that is a downfield threat because think of what Jaden Daniels was best at when he was at LSU. Think about what part of the reason that this guy won the Heisman Trophy and why he was drafted number two overall was. It's his deep ball accuracy. And I just didn't see a lot of that this year. Now, maybe more of those can go to Terry McLaurin. Maybe that's a way that you can get some of these downfield threats going and throw the ball down the field a little bit more. But I would like to see someone that allows Terry to kind of stay in the role that he was in this year while you have someone else that is literally just their job to take the top off the defense, a la DeSean Jackson, right? Just, you know what he's running. I know what he's running. You can't stop it, though. And two or three times a game, he hits him. And it ends up with like 120 yards, right? He's averaging like 30 yards of reception. Just something stupid like that, right? Where it's, you look at the end of the game and Pierre Garçon had five or six catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. And then you look at the next guy and it's two catches, 110 yards and a touchdown, DeSean Jackson. Like that. I want that because I think Jaden would excel with that where you could take the top off. Because imagine how much more effective their passing game can be where it is built a lot on the short stuff, the RPOs, the quick hitters. They like to do a lot of that stuff. That's Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and that's fine. But you need to have a little bit of a deep threat more than they had this season. And he's able to throw the deep ball so well. I mean, maybe my favorite throw of the season. I'm trying to think if it's my favorite. It's definitely a top five favorite throw of the season. Was that throw against the Lions. Diami Brown's running deep across the field. And Jaden doesn't even step into it. He just lets it rip down there, and it's thrown so perfectly that the DB puts his hand right in Diami's face, covering his eyes, and the ball caught itself. It was so well thrown that Diami didn't have to see it, and he still caught it. Like, I think Jaden's deep ball accuracy is really, really good. I think we could see more of it if you could have a legit guy. So the guy I actually have in mind, I'm intrigued to see where he ends up going in the draft, but a guy like an Isaiah Bond out of Texas, someone like that where maybe he's listed as your number two or three receiver. I don't know where he would rank on your depth chart, but he's out there solely to go deep. And you understand it, they understand it, and they have to play that direction. I think that would open up a lot more in their passing game if they could have that. On the other side, though, you need someone, to me, more the possession-style, reliable guy. Because this kind of depends on what's going to happen with Zach Ertz. I personally, if you would have asked me through 12 weeks of the season, maybe even a little bit further into, say, the bye week, I would have said Zach Ertz, great man. Fun first year. Adios. After watching him at the end of the year, I'll bring back Zach Ertz. I might have another tight end in waiting, whether that's Ben Sinnott or someone else. But I think I would bring back Zach Ertz. He was a big part of the offense. You think back to that NFC Championship game, he was the passing offense. Zach Ertz, Zach Ertz, Zach Ertz, Zach Ertz. So I'd probably bring him back, but I would love to have a Wiley vet to go alongside, maybe in the slot, maybe, you know, just a better Jamison Crowder, someone like that, right? Someone that's just a little bit. And would Cooper Kupp fit that? I don't necessarily want Cooper Kupp, but would he be someone that'd be a little bit interesting if he gets cut by the Rams and you could pick him up instead of trading draft picks, you could just pick him up in free agency? Maybe. Could Debo fit like a wild card sort of role where he just kind of does a little bit of everything, where you move him all around the formation, you throw those tunnel screens that you threw to Diami to him, you line him up in the backfield, let him run some choice option routes out of the backfield? I don't know. That'd be something interesting. I don't know that I want him as a true number two, but a couple of guys that I think I'd like to see them just bring back are both of the Browns. I think Diami would be nice to have back because maybe he can fill some of that deep threat role that I'm talking about. And I think Noah Brown is someone that we're not talking enough about to bring back because I think he's exactly what they want in this offense, and he's not going to cost a lot. And he wasn't a lot last year. You know, he was decently productive, but I'm bringing him back as wide receiver three at the highest, maybe wide receiver four. But I think he fits perfectly where there was a time, I forget what game it was last year, that Bryson Tremaine was up. I don't remember exactly what game it was. It might have been a playoff game. But when Bryson Tremaine was up, they'd line him up on a side, and you could say, they're running a screen to that side. they're going to do something to that side because he's in the block. Noah Brown can be that guy for you. And I think he still gives you some production in the passing game. But, you know, he's someone that's given me 400-500 yards on the year. He's not doing a whole lot, but his ability to block on the outside, I think, would be big for this team to have back because they like to run a lot of short stuff. They're running screens. They're running bubbles. They're running all sorts of short stuff where you need your receivers to get involved in the blocking game. Also, maybe in the run game, you can run it outside a little bit better if you have a receiver that can block some of these guys. Think of maybe Cooper Kupp. If he came in here, he kind of fits that same role where Cooper Kupp was good with that with the Rams. But I think if you could get Noah Brown back on the cheap, I think he makes some sense. And to me, you start with, okay, you've got Terry, you've got Luke McCaffrey, that's two. You're thinking you're keeping six wide receivers. If you brought back both Diami and Noah Brown, that leaves you two guys and two spots left open. If Diami is just your fourth receiver, Noah Brown is kind of your rotational, maybe wide receiver three, maybe he's wide receiver four or five, somewhere around there. I think I kind of like that. I would draft a wide receiver. I don't know that I would go first round to something that, you know, we've kind of kicked around the last couple of days here on the station. You know, Field Yates had them taking Emeka Egbuka in the first round. I wouldn't necessarily love that. Wouldn't hate it. I don't know that I would love it because when I look at Emeka Egbuka, I think he's a solid player. I don't know that he's a difference maker. I don't know that he is a first round type talent that you would get. But I think it would make some sense if they went there because he would kind of fit what they're trying to do. But I would maybe rather go in the second or the third round and get one of these guys. Now, I'm intrigued if like a Luther Burden is there. Would they take someone like that? I think there's some decent wide receivers that you could get, but I don't know that 29 is the time that I would go after for this specific wide receiver draft class. The other name that I've heard kind of thrown around a little bit that I think would be intriguing if you're going to look in the trade market is DK Metcalf. And I don't know that I would love to go after DK Metcalf, but when you think about the fit and what he does, and so you could just throw him on the opposite side of Terry, let Terry be the number one, because to me, DK is not a number one. He's more so that downfield guy. He's really, really good number two. You let Terry kind of do his thing, and then maybe you go after a guy like a DK who is just an elite deep threat, a guy who is just huge, obviously, but just going to go down the field and can run by guys. I might see what the Seahawks are asking, because you'd have to sign him to a new contract, and then you kind of run into the issue that you're running into where would you sign T. Higgins? Because suddenly you're paying two wide receivers. I think you'd run into a similar sort of scenario there because you'd have to pay him. You have to pay Terry McLaurin. They're both going into the final year of their deals. But I might see. Might just check in what the price is there, because I think that could give you that field stretcher that I'm looking for. So to me, Terry's there. I want him still be number one. Luke McCaffrey, we'll see what kind of steps he takes. Maybe he's your slot guy. Maybe he's the guy that I'm talking about, that veteran-style receiver in the middle that's just going to get open and be the security blanket. But I really want a deep threat. I really want a guy that's going to take the top off. And maybe a guy like a Hollywood Brown would make some sense. He only made $7 million this past season for the Chiefs, and I know he was hurt. That was kind of like a freak injury where he got tackled and landed on his shoulder, and that kind of got screwed up. It wasn't a leg injury or anything. He wasn't a huge impact for the Chiefs, but maybe Hollywood Brown makes some sense. I don't know. I would just like to see someone who is a downfield threat so that you can see this offense be a little more vertical, because I think the second that you start getting a little more vertical with this offense, you're going to see everything else start to open up a little bit. You know, people aren't creeping down in the box all of a sudden stopping that run game. People aren't down there as much when you throw out the quick screen or the bubble. I think that would help things a lot if you just had one guy at least they can run by dudes down the field, and they have to respect that deep ball a little bit more because Jaden's so good at it, but I don't feel like it was a huge part of the offense this year. I'd like to see it a big part of the offense next season. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Wide receiver is going to be a big-time position they're going to have to address this offseason. What do you want to see them do with the wide receiver position? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Sunday afternoon, hanging out, talking some football on the first Sunday we don't have football. What do you want to see them do with the wide receiver position? You can look at the big names, and we've talked plenty about the big names. T. Higgins, Debo, Cooper Kupp. I brought up DK Metcalf potentially being traded for. I'm more so looking at what do you want to see, what style of receivers. Because when I see what some of these other offenses are able to do, I need a guy who can take the top off. Think of how you have to play the Detroit Lions when they've got Jameson Williams on one side of the field, and Amon-Ra is kind of the savvy guy. He's in and out of breaks. He's the, you know, old reliable guy you can always go to. But if I want to dial something up where I'm throwing the ball down the field, I'm going to Jameson Williams, and he can just run by guys. I don't think Washington has that guy, and I think if they could add that dude, I think it opens up a whole nother realm of possibility for this offense, where you're looking at a team that could potentially become even more explosive. Because this past season, to me, when you look at what they were built on being efficient as an offense versus being super explosive. If you're able to get some explosiveness out of this offense, look out. Because they didn't have a ton of that. They had some explosive plays, but they were kind of middle of the pack to me and explosiveness. And some of it, you know, a run of 20 yards. Jaden Daniels doing some of that. Yes, it's an explosive play. Those are going to happen. I'm more so looking at things that you can dial up and be explosive. Thinking of Sean McVay and the play-action game getting down the field, or, you know, the Niners when they're able to run their play-action bootleg and find someone 15 yards over the middle, or same sort of thing with the Lions. Those sorts of things, I didn't see a whole lot of that. I'd like to see a little bit more, but I think the easiest way to do it is just get some guys that can run the deep ball where Jaden really excels. I think he would be really, really good if you could find that, which, you know, be interesting too in the future what they're going to do at the receiver position, because I would love to see a guy like a Malik Nabers here in the future. They're obviously still good friends, and maybe Brian Thomas Jr. down the line. They're good friends as well still. Maybe those are your long-term future receivers, but for the time being, I don't know that T. Higgins isn't going to fill that role. He's a downfield guy, but he's more so a big, physical, contested catch, 50-50 ball kind of receiver, and he's really good. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league, but he's not going to blow by you. Cooper Kupp's not at this point in his career. Debo to me is interesting because I just don't even look at him really as a wide receiver. He's someone who plays that position, I guess, but he's more so right in the middle, and I don't know that I can trade for a guy, which it sounds like he's going to end up being cut, so maybe you'd be intrigued if you could bring him in without having to give up draft capital. But he's someone who's interesting because he doesn't create separation as a wide receiver, because I don't think his route running's particularly sharp or crisp, but he's electric with the ball in his hands. Maybe he would fit some stuff. I don't know. I think it's going to be intriguing to see what they do at the wide receiver position. But I think overall, too, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, I think the most important position, and this is why I'm not going after T. Higgins. This is why, you know, unless these guys become free agents like Cooper Kupp or Debo, I'm not going after them. And I don't necessarily want to pay big money for either of those guys either. I think it all starts up front. And I think that's where I want to spend my resources, offense, defensive line. And I think callers this week have done a good job pointing out, when you look back at this season, the issue wasn't the offense. Like, it wasn't. The issue was the defense. You know, you go back and look at some of the stats from this year. I think, I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head, so I might be wrong here, but I think there have been six quarterbacks who have made the NFC Championship, or excuse me, a conference championship as a rookie. Jaden's the only one without a top three scoring defense, and Washington's defense was 18th. Usually you get there with the rookie quarterback, kind of just, he's along for the ride and he helps out, he makes some plays, but he's not the one that's making, he's not the one dragging you there. He's not the driving force, versus Jaden was the driving force for why you were there. Jaden was the dude. And so, you know, I think if you were to run everything back with the offense this year, I'd almost be totally fine with that. I want to see improvement. I want to see a better wide receiver too. I want to see more out of the run game. Maybe some upgrade at tight end on the O-line. But if you were to tell me, run it back with the same unit you had on offense last year, but we spend tons of resources to give you maybe a top 10 defense next year, sign me up for that. Sign me up. Because I think the defense really, really needs to see some improvement if you're going to continue to have what we talked about earlier, that sustained success. Defense wins championships. I was looking through some of the numbers. I don't have them right in front of me, but I think if you go back to 2011 is the last time a team won a Super Bowl with a defense that wasn't in the top half of the league, and then maybe two outside of that were not top 10 units in terms of scoring defense. Defense still wins championships. You know, you think about some of the greatest matchups you've had. I think back to that Seahawks and Broncos Super Bowl. We all think about, you know, that how crazy bad that Super Bowl was because of how much Seattle dominated. That was the number one offense versus the number one defense. And that number one defense got the better of that number one offense. Now, some of it, you know, how much does the defense have to do with the ball getting snapped over Peyton's head to start that game? I don't know that they did. I don't know that the Broncos were clicking on all cylinders by any means. But defense still is hugely important. And I think for Washington, if you want to continue to do this, you can rely on Jaden and you can put everything on his back and he's shown he can carry you pretty far. But it'd be a lot easier if Jaden doesn't have to score 35 a game to win. It'd be a lot easier if when you went into Detroit, it wasn't, all right, Jaden, go score us 40 and we'll see if we can keep him under it. We'll see. I don't know that we will, but we'll try. I think it'd be a lot better if you could find a way to make it so Jaden is just, it's a race to 24. It's a race to 28. And you have to evolve as time goes on. But I think if you can build up that defense where you've got a much better pass rush, not even a much better pass rush. How about getting a pass rush and get some pressure and be able to keep the run from being just such a weapon for the other team? I'm not one that is as new school as a lot of people. I still think stopping the run is hugely important. It's my number one priority still. I don't want you to go crazy. I would much rather, you know, you pass the ball all over the yard, just not down the field, than letting you run. Because when you just run on someone and you just constantly run the football, I mean, you watch the old Redskins teams. It's not like they always broke off the long ones, but when you just run and run and run and run and run and run and a team can't stop you, it's demoralizing. It really is. It just absolutely takes the soul out of a team. And Washington couldn't stop the run for their lives this year. So I need to see them improve big time in the run game. I want to see some improvement in the pass game as well. I think that to me is where it gets interesting with the receiver position. I'm not going big time on any of these guys. I'd much rather see a lot of it spent on the defensive side of the ball. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little Nationals. Pitchers and catchers have reported to spring training. We're going to get some spring training action here not too long from now. How much did they improve from last year? Do you really think they are better from last year? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for another half hour or so. Washington Nationals are back in action. The pitchers and catchers reported this past week. Position players reporting pretty soon. A lot of the position players were already there. Davey and the guys have kind of mentioned that, so that's good. Seeing that, seems like the CJ situation is in the past. Seems like a lot of what happened last season at the end, which was a little bit of a disappointing end of the season, seems like a lot of that's in the past. The question I have going into this year for the Nationals is, how much better are they? You know, last year it felt like, okay, it seemed like they were getting things going, and nope, they did not. They finished with the exact same record as they did the year before, 71 and 91, and it was kind of polar opposites, where in 2023, their first half was very bad, and their second half was good, and then vice versa. Last year, first half was good, second half was largely disappointing. And so they made some moves this offseason, which, look, I think we all wanted them to spend some money and go out and get somebody. You know, I would have loved to see them be in on Roky Sasaki. That was never happening. Obviously, there was a pipe dream of Juan Soto. There was a negative 4 million percent chance that was ever happening. Like, there was just never a chance that they were going after many of these guys. Pete Alonso. I know some people wanted Alex Bregman. Nope, none of these guys. Now, the Bregman contract to me is a little nuts. 40 mil for 3 years. Little much for me for Alex Bregman. But it's just crazy that they didn't do a whole lot of anything. Now, to Mike Rizzo's credit, because I know some people look at this as, oh my goodness, Mike Rizzo, and blaming it on him. I don't know that this is a Rizzo thing. I could be wrong. I don't think this is a Rizzo thing. I think this is more an ownership thing. Because to me, Mike Rizzo is not a guy that would say, you know what, I'm going to be extra frugal and I'm not going to go spend money. I think this was his offseason to do that, because like I laid out before, going into this offseason, this was the time to hit the gas pedal, because your elite prospects are in the bigs. Dylan Cruz is going to start opening day in right field. James Wood is going to start opening day in left field. There's not elite prospects coming down the line that are like those guys. Brady House is good. I think he can be a big-time impact bat for this team at third base in the future. Hopefully at some point this season. Is he going to end up as a top-10 prospect? Not saying that's the be-all, end-all. But is he going to end up as a top-end, top-10 prospect in all of baseball when he comes up? Probably not. Travis Sikora is a really good pitcher. Disappointed to hear that he had to have hip surgery. Hopefully it's something that doesn't take a whole lot of time. Hopefully it's not something that lingers like the Cade Cavalli situation. But he's someone that I think by the time he gets called up, maybe could be the top pitcher in minor league baseball. Okay, but are you just going to continue to wait on these guys? Like, I don't know when he's going to be in the bigs. I wouldn't think, specifically now with the injury, I don't think it's at all this season. May not be until middle of 2026, maybe, and that's at the earliest. You can't keep waiting. Now's your time. James Wood is in the big leagues. Dylan Cruz is in the big leagues. If you're going to say, okay, we'll wait two more years, well, suddenly you're starting to get closer and closer to the time where maybe you don't even get to sign those guys, and maybe those guys are on the move. So to me, this was the offseason where, okay, the young guys are here. Now's when we go all in. CJ's here. Gore's here. Wood's here. Cruz is here. All those guys are in the bigs. Now's the time to spend. They didn't do it. Disappointing for sure. Rating what they did do, though, I think with what they were given, with what Mike Rizzo was given, I think he did a decent job. I don't love it. I still have no idea who's going to close baseball games for them. Kyle Finnegan's still available. Would they consider going out and signing him? And by the way, I know a lot of people were getting on me about the Kyle Finnegan and turning down his paying what his arbitration would have been, and maybe would have been a little bit inflated. My issue was never the fact that they didn't want to pay Kyle Finnegan, because I understood all the reasons why you shouldn't pay Kyle Finnegan. My issue was the point I just made, spend some money. Spend some money. We love to do this, by the way. Fans, we love to do this. We love to save $2 million here and $3 million there as if we're footing the bill. I know I'm trying to, you know, take money out of someone else's pocket here. We love to do this as if we're playing MLB The Show or we're playing Madden or we're playing 2K. Sometimes you just have to spend and get the guy. I talked about this with the NFL draft. Sometimes you have to, you know, oh man, was he a good value at 29? You probably could have gotten him at 40. Just take the guy. You got the guy on your football team. Sometimes you have to pay a little more. Sometimes you have to overdraft a little bit. So if you just want to get your guy on your team. The issue was not Kyle Finnegan per se and saying that they didn't sign him back and you give me all the reasons. I get all that. My point is spend some money, please, to improve this baseball team. And I think they did improve the baseball team. You know, they have the first base position nailed down. So credit to them. That's been a position that's been a problem for quite some time. Nathaniel Lowe, I think, is going to be an excellent addition to this team. Defensively, he is really, really good. You look back a couple of seasons ago in Texas when he was the silver slugger for AL first baseman. 302 average, 492 slug, 851 ops, 27 homers. Now, that was seems to be an anomaly of a year for him, 27 homers, but 18 in 2021, 17 in 2023, 16 last year. So he's going to be hovering around that 15 to 20 homer mark at the first base position. Last year, if you recall, they were getting next to no production out of a big-time important offensive production position in first base. They're not going to get the power production that they probably like out of first base. They're not going to get 30-plus homers more than likely at first base, but they're going to get much more production there with Nathaniel Lowe. You're going to get some homers out of Josh Bell, who will likely be DHing and filling in at first base when Lowe gets a day off or something of that nature. Okay, so you've got some more power in the lineup. Luis García has been a huge improvement from what he's been throughout his career. It was good to see him. He was really the bright spot for this team last year. That's good to see. So you feel decent about second base. They went out and signed Paul DeJong today for $1 million. He hit a decent number of home runs last year. Looking up the exact number, I think it was somewhere in the 20s. Maybe he gives you some more power and fits into what they're going to be doing at third base. Looking at Paul DeJong last season, hit 24 homers for the White Sox, only hit 227. Gives you a little bit of something, right? It gives you a little bit of something. But I think the issue I have with this is I think Rizzo did a good job with what he was given. Sure, there's a move here or there that maybe I would have tweaked a little bit. Sure, maybe I would have gone after this guy instead of that guy. At that point, we're being nitpicky. The issue here is they didn't spend any money. The fact that Mike Rizzo was talking to the media ahead of spring training just a couple of days ago, and Mark Zuckerman put this out. He goes, yeah, maybe the payroll's down a little. Payroll's down? What are we doing? You are already paying nobody. And for all the people that were trying to say, well, they did a good job. See, they're spending money here, there. Patrick Corbin's contract came off the books, and they barely replaced that. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are you trying to win baseball games or not? Because if you're trying to win baseball games, you should be spending money. Now is the time. It's not time to continue to keep on waiting and waiting and waiting. And if you want to win this way, your development staff and your drafting better get a heck of a lot better. They've improved the past couple of years to their credit. Seems like they're going in the right direction. But if you want to play like the Tampa Bay Rays, then you need to start acting like the Tampa Bay Rays. You need to get some guys that show up and play extremely well and are wanted down the line. Look at all the guys that have come through the Rays organization that go elsewhere and get big-time contracts. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, dudes like that. I'm sorry, the Nats don't have that caliber of guy coming up through the system. Randy Arozarena's on their team. They've got good players. The Nats aren't like that. If you're not going to spend money, you've got to do something well. It's just disappointing to me. I think this team will probably improve on their record last year. On the backs of guys like James Wood and Dylan Cruz taking steps forward. CJ Abrams has potential star written all over him if he can get just find some consistency. But I don't... 2019 was awesome. It's my favorite sporting memory. Is that just going to be it for this team? 2019? Every single time we talk about this baseball team, we're just going to go back to 2019? We're going to be a decade into the future and we're going to be talking about 2019 versus what this team can do on the baseball field this season because we're still not spending any money? It's just frustrating. I think this team will be better, but this team competed for World Series titles for a decade, and now they're just competing to be above 500. It's boring. At some point, you got to try. 800-636-1067. We'll continue talking about the Nationals to wrap up here. How much better are they? Are they a 78-win team? Are they an above 500 team? We'll continue talking about it next here on The Fan. Final couple minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you. We'll wrap up talking a little bit of Nationals, but we got to get out to our guy who's been on hold for quite some time. He wants to talk a little hoops and a little Commanders. Let's get out to Paulie on the line. Paulie, what's going on, dude?
Quite some time is an understatement. Hell to the W. Jesus, man. You look, I like you, Toby. Hey, look, man. I think with the roster, man, we can't play Madden. You know, especially for all these old, broken-down receivers. You know, I can care less about them. But for me, I think we've seen the blueprint last year, and I think they'll follow the same blueprint of where they're going to take the best available player in the draft in the first round at 29. You know what I mean? And then from that point on, you identify the players you want, and you move accordingly to get them. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily, as much as I like a Myles Garrett or a player like that, I wouldn't start giving away compensation, man. We still, like you said, still got to build this roster out. So you get your players in the draft, and then you get your free agent guys, just like you did last year. You know, you sign a bunch of guys to one-year deals. And I think the key would be signing back Jeremy Chinn. I think Jeremy Chinn is the type of player that the other free agency, okay, he signed a one-year deal, he had a good year, and then they gave him a fair market value deal, or, you know, for multiple years. So, mm-hmm. And I think with the fact that that formula worked for us last year, all right, and we got the quarterback that a lot of players seem to want to play for, I think we'll get a higher quality of veteran free agents to fill in spots while we keep building the team. I think we're a year away from actually giving up compensation to get that marquee player. Now, at the trade deadline, I will be looking to add on again, just like we did last year, because you went through 8 weeks and was able to identify, like, okay, we really need somebody out there in the corner that has confidence in his play. Now, it didn't work out so much for us like we wanted to. I think a lot of it had to do with Lattimore, you know, basically being out of shape and not being ready, you know, just being hurt and being out of shape. But I wouldn't mind doing that again. You know, after 8 weeks, we'll see, okay, you know what, we might need to get the linebacker situation straight. It's not like we thought it was. Or there's a defensive lineman out there or offensive lineman. So I would just keep it the status quo as we did last year. And like I said, we should be able to pick from a higher pool of players just off of what we did, last season, going 12-5 and winning two playoff games, getting to the championship game. As far as basketball goes, I'm a Knicks fan. But on the outside, looking in at the Wizards, man, they just got to keep doing what they're doing. Just keep drafting, mm-hmm. keep turning over the roster. Then you find the players you want to keep. Maybe trade some of these younger players for established young veteran. And I think one key thing they need to do, though, they need a veteran coach. You can't have all these young players trying to learn the NBA game and then have a head coach who's also trying to learn how to be an NBA head coach. I think you need a veteran coach if you're going to have this amount of young players, man. I take it off, Toby, man. Have a great Sunday, man. Hail to the W.
Appreciate it, Paulie. Yeah, I think he brings up some good points on the Commanders. I guess we'll wrap up on that about a minute and a half here. He talked about Jeremy Chinn and bringing him back. The thing that I really appreciate about this coaching staff that the previous coaching staff did such a poor job of is those fringe guys. Remember they talked about positional flex, guys that can play multiple positions. They talked about it all the time with Rivera, and they had no idea what to do with it. This defense, I think, does understand that. And Jeremy Chinn provides a little bit of that. Obviously, Luvu did, and they kind of understood what to do there. So I think bringing back Jeremy Chinn would make some sense. And I think he brings up a good point. Frankie Luvu was talking about this. I saw someone tweet about this the other day, saying people are already calling, saying, hey, I want to come play in Washington. And so maybe for the first time in my lifetime, Washington might get a little discount on some players. Would you rather come play here in D.C., or would you rather go to maybe Carolina or something like that? Maybe they say, we want to go play for a winner. We'll take a, not significantly less, but a little bit less to come play with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. That'd be the first time that happens in my lifetime. So maybe that's something that happens. Appreciate you all for hanging out. Appreciate Chris back in the studio. Appreciate Varun for joining us a little bit earlier talking about the Wizards. That's going to do it for us. Have a great rest of your Sunday.